Good morning again. It's great to see you all here today. I do want to say thank you very much for being a part of our forever family here at Azalea City. What a great service we've already had, and what a blessing it is to be able to sing these songs, be able to hear the Word of God reminding us about the importance of what Jesus did for us. Thank you also to Ethan and to Brother Levy in leading us in our scripture and our prayer. And thank you all again for being here today. We just sang about heavenly sunlight. We could use a little sunlight around here, couldn't we? But I'm thankful that you're able to brave the rain, brave the holiday time. We do know that school is out, I guess for everyone. I'm not real sure, but anyhow, there's a lot going on, and so I'm glad you're able to be with us today. Do want to say that we have some good news this morning. We have a family that is ready to take the visitor tag off of their name and put the member one on. Very excited. They came to me this morning as we were talking. They said, hey, we want to go ahead and place our membership with you guys. And so I was like, okay, we'll get that done. And so Phil and Tracy Massey, we're excited about that. We're excited also with Wyatt, who will be with them from time to time. But we know Phil, and we're going to know Tracy better, and so we're excited about getting to know them, and we love them already, but we want you to know who they are. So you didn't know about this part, did you? So if y'all will stand up, please. Welcome them to Azalea City. Gerald Copeland is sitting behind you watching, just watching, you know. Now, great people surrounded you everywhere, and so thank you, brother. I told Phil that, hey, we're about to get y'all to go to work now, so, you know, so we're excited about that also. So thank you guys for making Azalea City your home. Justin did a great job in making announcements telling you about spiritual enrichment. I'm not going to talk much more on that, but I will say this, that if you are in town, you need to be here. I mean, if you are not, if you have the flu, you can stay home. But if you are well and you are in town, let's be here. Let's fill this place up. Let's get it back to the way it has been. Numbers have been down over spiritual enrichment the last few years. But let's make Azalea City's where it started. I guess it started in the Civic Center. But when it went to the congregations, it started here. And so it's coming full circle again. So please be here and bring somebody with you. If you can be here during the day, do that as well. It's going to be great. George Spurlock is out today. He has battled the flu this year. And now George is battling shingles. And yeah, it's tough. But George and I were going to have a new class starting, class, lesson, whatever it may be. And we're going to start that today. And we're going to call that, I don't know exactly the title yet, but it's going to be kind of an open forum Bible discussion. And we're going to move that. We can't move it to next Sunday, so we're going to move it to the last Sunday of the month. And it will be at 4:30. So please note, that's going to be a class that we're looking forward to. You're all invited to it, okay? But there are going to be some things discussed that maybe are a little bit challenging. Maybe it will make us be able to examine some things a little bit deeper in Scripture and really just have a good discussion, good class. And we're going to do that once a month starting out. And so, again, that will be moved from today to the last Sunday of this month. So please make plans to attend that as well. Today I want to talk with you about opening your mouth. Sometimes I open my mouth at the wrong time. Sometimes I open my mouth and stick my foot in it. But today I don't want to talk about those things. I want to talk about opening our mouth to God. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ said it this way, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, when we fill up our lives with things that are good, guess what comes out?
good things. You know, the 1 Corinthians 15:33 teaches us, Paul said there, evil companionship corrupts good morals. One version says good habits. You know, when you think about that, it's really the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Well, if garbage comes in and garbage comes out, then it's also good to say that if good things come in, then good things can come out. Don't you love Peter and John? When the church was just blowing and going, man. The fire was blazing there after Pentecost, and the church was really getting started, and souls were being added every single day to the kingdom. And Peter and John were on trial, and they told them, you know, they had beaten them. They had told them, you can't come in here and teach in the name of Jesus Christ ever again or else. Now, I don't know what that else was, but they severely threatened them. That could have been in life in prison. That could have been a stoning. That could have been, I don't know, some other type of beating or punishment. They said, don't do it. Well, Peter and John look at them, and I know in a loving way, in a respectful way, they said, let me tell you something. Whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you more than God, you've got to judge that. You've got to come to that conclusion, but we can't help it. We cannot help but speak in the name of Jesus Christ. They were so full of Jesus that Jesus had to come out. Today, it is my prayer, when we get done, when we are completed in studying this lesson today, that we are so full of God that God has to come out. Wherever we go, around whoever we come around. But you know what happens when we open our mouth? Sometimes it starts like this. I do not know any of these children. I just found them on the internet. But you see this young child right here? He's not, or I guess she, that child, I'm going to say he is not excited about eating. He is not, and you've been there. You know when you're trying to feed your child and they're screaming and they're knocking spoons and you're holding hands and you've got arms and legs and everything else. Why is that child doing that? Because on that spoon and in that bowl is a bunch of mashed up nasty peas. I mean, let's face it. How many of y'all are going to go today, oh, I'm hungry right now, and, you know, I'm going to stop by Walmart today, go to the Gerber aisle, and get some nasty old peas and eat those? Not one of you are going to do that. That's not what we're going to pick for our afternoon lunch. Now, I understand why the kids have them. And I understand why we've got to feed them their vegetables. In fact, our doctor told us when we started feeding Bo, do not feed them the fruit first because they will not eat the vegetables because that fruit tastes good and everything else and that mouth's open wide. Now, your children may have eaten their vegetables and did a great job. That's me, by the way, with vegetables today. I'm still kind of that way. But the point of it is that's how we can be spiritually sometimes. God said, open your mouth wide, I'm going to feed you. But we're like, oh no, I don't want any more God. I don't want any more church. I don't want any more Bible talk. I don't want any more telling me this and telling me that. I don't want any of it. But when we need God, what do we do? Oh God, I need you. Our mouths are open wide. They look more like this. You know? God, I need you. Give it to me. But see, that's not how God wants it. That's not how God deserves it. You see, we cannot say, God, I'm only going to open my mouth to you when you've got the good stuff to give me. God, when I need you, I'll open my mouth. That's not how it works. Look at nature. Those birds, when they're hungry, they are opening their mouths big for that mama bird to put whatever they have in their mouth to feed them. They're fully relying on their mother. We must fully rely on our Father, our Heavenly Father. Today, it is my prayer that every one of us have come in with mouths open wide. Turn in your Bibles, please. to Psalm 81, the text that was just read to us a moment ago by our brother Ethan. Hear, O my people, this is verse 8, I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Today, open your mouths wide. Open your hearts wide. Open your minds wide, because God is ready to fill it. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. We're going to get there in a minute, but go to Ezekiel chapter 2. What does it take to be able to be filled up with God? Well, there has to be a connection made, okay? We've got to connect today to our Lord. And that's what God is saying. I want you. He wants you. He needs you. Listen, I know He's God and He could do whatever He wanted, but God needs us to accomplish His plan. He needs us to accomplish His mission. Jesus Christ came and He fulfilled God's plan, but we are the ones to carry out that message. We've got to go into all the world. Ezekiel had that task as well. In Ezekiel chapter 2 now, beginning in verse 1, He said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I'll speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when He spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard Him who spoke to me, and He said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, or for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know what a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then He spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Now chapter 3. Moreover, He said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and He caused me to eat this scroll. And He said to me, Son of man, feed your belly. Fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. God literally told Ezekiel, open your mouth. And He filled it with the words He wanted him to say. I know we did that in Vacation Bible School, and Justin was Ezekiel, and he was eating, I don't know, some kind of tortilla or something. But that's the mindset. Can you see Ezekiel? What a crazy scene in the Bible. But God told him to open his mouth. I'm about to feed you what I want you to say. Folks, when God told us, when Jesus specifically said, go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to observe all things I command, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age, He didn't say, open your mouth, and that's it. He's given us the tools necessary. He's given us the tools to be able to fill our lives and fill the lives of others. You see, it's about making an impact, but it's about making a connection. Why would we do that? Why would we want to do that? Well, first of all, who wouldn't want to go to heaven? Who doesn't want to have a relationship with God? Who doesn't want their debt paid off? You've heard me say this before today. You said it before, and I'm going to say it again today. If I could pay your debt off, or if I knew someone that could and they were willing to, man, you would love that person forever. We would love that person till the day they died or we died, and love their family, and we'd send them cakes and flowers and cards and thank yous and everything else. Well, guess what? God has paid our debt. The one who paid our debt is saying, I want you to open wide your mouth and I'm going to fill it. I love the NLT there. Says, I'm going to, in Psalm 81, says, I'm going to fill it with good. I'm going to fill it with good things. But today I want to talk about this debt. And I want us, of course, to come up with some points out of this word. And the first one today is this. How am I going to connect with God? How am I going to be able to stand here with my mouth open wide? Well, the first thing I've got to do, and this is going to be very practical for us today, is I've got to disconnect. Well, Terry, what do you mean? You're telling me I've got to connect. What do you mean I've got to disconnect? Well, let's talk about that for a moment. We're distracted. We're distracted easily, aren't we? There are a lot of distractions all around us. I mean, you think about it. I get distracted even up here sometimes. And please, you're not doing anything to distract me. That's just how I am. I might look somewhere and not see somebody and think, oh, I need to check on that person. And so, yeah, I do stumble over my words. Sometimes it's because I don't have my glasses. I've got those today, so there's no excuse. But sometimes it's because I'm distracted in my brain and I forget what I was saying just for a moment. So I know that if I am that distracted, chances are some of you are a little distracted as well. Okay, I may be over the top with it, but you probably have some distractions in your life. You know why I know that? Because the devil wants us to get off track. He wants us to close our mouths. He wants us to fill our lives with garbage. He wants us to fill our lives with things that we shouldn't be looking at. So many things get in our way of connecting or reconnecting with God. The Hebrew writer said it this way in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, the Hebrew writer there said we need to get rid of every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The word literally means easily surrounding. So think about it this way. You've got a predator on your land, okay? Maybe it's a coyote trying to get to your chickens or whatever it may be, okay? And you want to trap that animal. You're not just going to put one trap out, probably. You're going to put several. If you know there's a bunch of them, you're going to surround them with traps. And that's the idea. The devil wants us to be surrounded with these traps. You know what else we can call them today? We can call them devices. And let's talk about some devices for a moment, okay? Let's talk about some things. And listen, I don't want to be a hypocrite, okay? I've got my notes right here on a device, okay? I've got a device in my pocket right here that keeps going off, and I don't know why. That's another distraction. But I've got a device on my watch right here, okay? I understand people. I understand needing to connect. I understand with technology and being able to communicate. And some of it I love. I love it. I do. I love that we have the opportunity. Justin and I do, and George and Justin and I do. Now this past week was bad. We tried it, Justin. It didn't work so well. But anyhow, we tried to connect from two different places. But we can get together, and through social media, we can put a good word out. We love that. But let's face it. The devil's using that as a god to us. I've told you before, I've gone to restaurants, and my rule, especially, Michelle and I do not get to go to a restaurant by ourselves too much, but if we do, and we, I don't say it's a rule, it's not, I mean, she's willing to do it as well, we don't get our devices out. Because when I go to a restaurant and I see a couple, they're together, and it should be a sweet, time where they're being intimate with one another, but they're on their devices checking about whatever the rest of the world's doing. Folks, if we're getting distracted with somebody that we share that kind of a bond with, what about the one that loves us like our God? Are we not getting distracted by Him? Are we not plugging in too much? Let me tell you right now, it's an epidemic that's happening, and I'm not sitting here telling you to get rid of all the devices. I'm not saying that. Let me just say, in this church building today, and this is something that just come to me, don't get mad at me, but many of you have devices and you're using your Bibles or whatever, but do you know why? When I missed on Sunday, I knew that our live stream wasn't working as well. Sometimes our live stream, Brother Robert, back me up on this, is not working. You're not going to back me up? So you go hang me out to dry? Sometimes our live stream is not working because we don't have enough upload speed. You know why we don't have enough upload speed? Because sometimes maybe our children are playing games on our Wi-Fi. I mean, think about it. Are we really there? Now, I understand keeping them, but the point of it is, maybe that's adults too. I don't know. I can't see y'all. Brother Robert can. Okay? He's the eye in the sky up there. But maybe sometimes we can't even unplug during church, during worship. Think about it. Dopamine. You know what dopamine is? Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that helps control the brain's reward and pleasure centers. So guess what? If you don't know what I'm about to talk about, just do not worry about it. But let's say I go on Facebook right now and I say, I'm at Isaiah City Church of Christ. And that's a great thing. You know, I don't mind you telling the world that you plugged in right here. And then we go and we check it. Did people give me thumbs up? Now you can do like sad faces and happy faces and all that. But every time we get a like, it releases a little bit of dopamine. That neurotransmitter that says, man, that feels good. We put a picture on Instagram. How many hearts did I get? How many people went on there? That's dopamine. Again, I'm just telling you, this is not me making it up. This is scientifically proven. It's the same chemical that's released that makes our bodies feel good. And what happens is we want more of that. We need more of that. And sometimes it becomes an epidemic and it distracts us from what really matters. Instead of sitting around and visiting, now let's take a look at a family in 2018. Families can be in the same room now and not say one word to each other. Daddy may be on his laptop finishing up some work from the office. Mom may be on the cell phone seeing the latest post on her favorite social media site. Daughter may be on a video chat with her friends at school. Son may be on his favorite video game with someone clear across the world on the other end. We're saturated with data. We're saturated with media. Saturated with social media and apps. We have less and less time for talks and visits and stories. There comes a time when our devices can become our idols. I wrote about this in a book, in my own book. So I'm just going to read a little section real quick if you'll bear with me. There comes a point in time when we have to make a conscious decision for the family to have a time every day that we turn the devices off. The suggestion is not to totally do away with the devices. After all, they certainly can be used for much good. What we need to do as a family is set aside a certain amount of time each day to put the devices down. This may be an unpopular and uncomfortable habit to practice at first. We need to do this so our families can be healthy, happy, and highly functioning and connected to God. Let's fight the peer pressure of others saying that this sounds old-fashioned and outdated. There's nothing outdated about doing everything in our power to get our children and family to heaven. Children are on loan from God, and God wants them back one day. May we use the precious time we have at home to fight the temptation of constantly being consumed by our devices. Rather, let's use this time to build our spiritual walks so we can fight off any temptation Satan throws our way. What else can we do to connect? E, we need to engage in Scripture. I'll give you five reasons why we need to be studying God's Word. There are probably thousands, but I'm going to give you five. Okay, and I want you to think about this. God's Word, number one, is infallible. You know what that means? There's no errors in it. I wrote that book, 21 Habits of Highly Functioning Families. I paid somebody to edit it. I reread it after the edit. And on the very first page, there's an error. You see, that's human time. I can make mistakes all day long. Others miss it. There are all kinds of things that happen in our Word. When we write our words, when we write stuff down, they're mistakes, but not God. His Word is infallible. Proverbs 35 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Don't you want to study something that's perfect? We need to engage in God's Word. Secondly, the Word of God is not only infallible, but it's complete. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, God gives us a warning. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You see, there's nothing that needs to be added to it. There's also nothing that needs to be taken away from it. God's Word has no errors. God's Word is complete. Thirdly, God's Word is totally authoritative. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. You might say, that's the way it is, or that's the bottom line, or that's all that needs to be said. Well, that's what God's Word is. It is what it is. That's the bottom line. No more needs to be said. He is the authority. He penned those words. He breathed those words. And we need to abide by those words. Fourthly, God's Word is totally sufficient for all our needs. I saw a sign today, you know, coming, passing a church building that said there are 300, I don't know, I did not study this, but I thought it was an interesting thought, and I am going to go back and look it up. There are 365 times the word, do not fear, or fear not, is listed in the Bible. If that's the case, it's one for every day. Think about how neat that would be. I don't know. They put it on a sign, so I hope it's true. But God's Word has everything we need. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to dread. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And finally, we engage in Scripture because the Word of God will accomplish what it promises. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Why would we not? I don't know what is number one on the New York Times bestseller list right now. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing more fascinating than the Word of God. I remember when I started studying the Old Testament. I stayed away from it for a long time. And you might be like me. You might not want to engage in those things. But when somebody showed me the Old Testament, taught me the Old Testament, I fell in love with it. How God's pieces all work together to form the beautiful puzzle that's Jesus Christ. Thirdly, this morning, we need to be consistent in prayer. You know, prayer is one thing that's talked about the most and probably done the least. Think about how many times people, and listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've done it perfectly every time. I try to, but when somebody says, hey, I'll pray for you. I mean, how many times a day we say that? Praying, pray for you. I'll be praying. I feel like we are. Sometimes we forget. We talk about it a lot, but sometimes we might not do it, right? I try to make it a conscious effort that if I tell somebody that, I remember that. And I'll pray either shortly after my encounter with them or remind myself for later on. Give you some scriptures right here, okay? 1 Thessalonians, you know them. 5:16-17 and the first part of 18. You ready? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Y'all think we can say that together? Let's do it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. One more time. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. You could tell people that you learned Scripture today. But what a powerful Scripture we just learned. That's what prayer is. Rejoicing with God. Always. Praying without stopping. And going to Him and saying thank you. I'm going to challenge you. 5 minutes. Every day. Let's challenge ourselves this. Let's take 5 minutes and let's take it at the lunchtime hour. A lot of people eat lunch at different times, but let's just say 12 o'clock. I want you to pick somebody out of our congregation or somebody that you want to be a part of our congregation. And I want you to pray for them. 5 minutes. Let's do that every day. And let's see by the end of the year where that gets us. You might even want to text them, not in a holier-than-thou kind of thing. Oh, I'm taking your name before the Lord because I'm Terry Cagle. That's not it. But you might want to say to them, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Every day at 12 o'clock. Let's see if it'll make a difference. I challenge you and I'll challenge me. Finally, this morning, how are we going to repay the debt? By opening our mouths up wide, we need to treasure our worship together. You know, I want to be with you as much as possible. I really do. I think I focus on numbers sometimes too much. I think I did it as a youth minister. Instead of focusing on those who were there, I think I do it as a preacher. You know, you put a lot of pressure on yourself. Well, you know, you got to have this amount of people and this and that. And, you know, but may we never, ever get caught up in being a number. Because we are family. But every time I have family that's not here, I appreciate it when they let me know they're not going to be there. But it bothers me. There's some in my family right now, when I say family, I'm talking about all of us, okay? There's some in our church family right now that I see on an everyday basis. And I don't know how to respond to them anymore because I've said everything I know how to say. But they still won't come, and that bothers me. Now I understand that sometimes we can't get everybody here. Sometimes I know that we have to shake the dust off our sandals. At least for a better opportune time. But the fact of the matter is, let's make worship together a treasure. Let's look forward to it. Let's let our week start off being together worshiping our God. I used to tell the kids at Mobile Christian when I was teaching there, Beau was born and Madeline was as well. Madeline was small, of course, in my last days there. But I used to tell them, you know, there are some family members that when they get off work, they don't go home. They might go to a bar, they might go to the store, they might go somewhere else because they want to avoid it. Because home's not fun. Family's not fun. But I used to tell them, I can't wait to get home. To see my wife. To see my children. Or I can't wait for them to get home if I'm there before. Why? Because I want to be with them. I love them. I need them. Well, what if we made our church family that important as well? We can't wait to be here. We can't wait to see one another. I can't wait to get that hug. I can't wait to see that big smile and get that big handshake. We need one another. Psalm 35, 17 and 18. Lord, how long will You look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions, and I will give You thanks in the great assembly. I will praise You among many people. Here we are in the great assembly. There's going to come a time when we're in the great assembly up above. But we can't get there if we don't have mouths wide open. Today, as we get ready to close, and we're examining where we are, I want to ask you, what are you filling your life up with? Do we have our mouth open wide to God? Or are we like that baby with those mashed peas? No, no, no. Today, I promise us all, mainly God does, if we will open our mouths to Him, He's going to fill it with so much good. Today, if you've got a lot of junk in your life, you can get it out right now. We can connect to God. We can have our debt paid. We can be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, if you need to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, or you need to come back home, I ask that you do it right now together. We stand and sing.